Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Aleph on this Ta'anit Aster, Tovshin Pei Vav. And let's start just from Nun Aleph Beis so that we can reconstitute the circuit. So we were talking about the Mishnah we're going to have later on, Tznan Hatam, on Aleph Beis, that the Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol are Derech HaShabbos. Every last aspect is Derech HaShabbos. Lishatan, and the Arichatan, and the Afiatan, all of it has to be done inside of the Chotzer of the Mishkan, which is the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And then all, because it then would be also Biyotze. So because of that, it became already Kodesh, because the Chatzi Isaron that we put it in is going to be making it on Kodesh, and if you take it out, it'll be possibly Yotze. And what's more, if you have to do these things, then you've got to do them every day, including Shabbos. How do we know that you're supposed to do them on Shabbos and not before Shabbos? So we had Ravuna's approach, which is that the Tufini is the Lashon of Tiafena Na'e, which means that it has to be really nice, and that you're doing it at the time that looks beautiful, and that means it can't be all stale. If you're going to be afilo me'etmo, if this is something you're going to bake yesterday, so then it's no longer today, it's no longer going to be clear and no'e, it'll be inashpela. It's going to be puffy, it's going to be hardened, and therefore, you have no choice. You have to do it on Shabbos. Maski Flor of Yosef, I mean, there's other ways to preserve things that they shouldn't become stale, or that they shouldn't become puffed up. After all, can't you be kovish lebiyarka? I mean, you can refrigerate them inside, you know, some beautiful fresh vegetables, keeps them green, so just keeps them fresh with the liquid, keeps them cool, and therefore everything should be perfect. So how do you know that you should be mechalal Shabbos? That doesn't make sense. Why chilal Shabbos? Okay, so says the Vei Rebbe Shmuel, I'll tell you, it's because of the lashon of te'aseh, the extra te'aseh, of course it's b'machavad, so why do you have to say te'aseh? Te'aseh is an extra asiyah, to be mechayev, you make sure that you do it, under all circumstances, you do it afilu b'shabbat. Te'aseh, it's got to be done. Te'aseh means no matter, come hell or high water, let it be done. Te'aseh, so if that's the case, afilu b'tumah. Abaya says, I have a different marker. Pasuk says, Solet Mincha Tamid. But that is comparing it to the Tamid. And the Tamid, what Mincha is Tamid? The Nesachim that's brought together, Minchas Nesachim that's brought together with the Tamid. And therefore, the same way that the Tamid is, of course, that all the Inyanim of the Tamid is Derech HaShabbos, and you bring it Petuma, that we learned out Beferish, we went through all the Limudim and Pesachim, that all of those tzibur in yanim, and anim b'moed, and any tamid is like this. So too, chavitim would have to be derech Shabbos, and is also derech tumah. Now, we didn't get a chance to go further this morning, so let's continue. Rava says, I have another mocker. The other mocker is that since it specifies in the pasuk al machavat, so if I have to do it al machavat, you are stressing the kli shorei specifically. Make sure that you take that machavat, which is melamed to una kli. If you have to measure it in terms of the machavat, so then that would mean that even if you actually didn't put into the kli shorei just in order to have the measuring of it, of the yisaron, but here, you're going to have to put it into the kli shorei, in which case, if you would have do it the day before, then it's going to become possibly not. So you can't possibly prepare it before. So you're going to have to do it only on Shabbos. What other choice is there? Certainly, the Torah is not telling you to ignore the psul of lina. And therefore, it's clear from there. What's wrong with the comparison to the tamid and so on, because over there you're not talking about the hachana. Over there you're talking about the actual hakarava. But Rabbi Yosef Steiner was, why can't you just refrigerate it and so on? So I understand you're going to have to bring it on the Mizbeach. Obviously, it's Lecha Shabbos. Yes, yes. I'm asking you, though, how do you know that you can't use some other way of preparing it? Says Rav, it's very simple, because since the way in which you would break it ready before Shabbos would require klishores, it's going to be pasobelina, and therefore it's obvious you do it on Shabbos. And in fact, there's a brighter like that. Tanya Gavazid Rava. It says in the Torah specifically, Alma Chavat, same words Rava said. Alma Chavat teaches you, Melamed Shetu in a Kli. There's no way out of it. You're going to have to use a Kli Sharis. You want to start mentioning the Kli. And Bar Shemen, well, obviously it's Bar Shemen. I mean, if it's comparing it to a Machavat, then it has to be with, like every Machavat, right? It's made Bar Shemen. Now, if you say again Bar Shemen, what does that mean? It seems to be saying, look, I know you know that we use Shemen, but you think you just use the standard Shemen that's used on a Mincha Machavat, right? That's what you think? Which would be basically the simple Luk Shemen per Isaron. That's the standard that we saw in all of the Menachos. But that's not the case over here. You better add Shemen. I'm telling you to put on more Shemen, Bar Shemen. So that means that the amount of shemen that is used for the chavitin, for the isaron of the chavitin, is not the luk shemen that would be used on a regular mincha. So, okay, then how much is it? In yodea kama? I mean, you can't just say add shemen. Add shemen in what way? How do I stop adding shemen? Just when the little indicator light goes off. I mean, this is what you got to add, is telling you up front. Well, I'll figure it out myself. Let me see. Hareini dan. I will figure this out by simple logic. Look, it uses the word shemen here, and it also used the word shemen where it was talking about the minchas nesachim. It's in the same, basically, when you're talking about the karbonas, it says beferish to bring also a sirita efa with a revahahin of the shemen. So if that's the case, And this is the actual revahin. Revahin, whoa. Revahin. A hin is 12 lug, and a revahin is 3 lug. But it says to only bring asirita efa, which is an isaron. So that means when you're talking about the carbon that is brought as your carbon tamid, you're going to be bringing 3 times the amount of oil mixed with the solet in the Minchas Nesachim than would be the standard proportion of 1 lug per Isaron. So that's your answer. Since you're comparing it specifically to the Minchas Nesachim, and that Minchas Nesachim, I mean, that's the one we're talking about, is the Kvasim. It's true they're not all 3 to 1, but the kvasim are 3 to 1, meaning 3 lugim of shemen to 1 isaron. So that must be what it means over here. So malahalan shloshet lugin isaron, just like the nesachim of the eilas tamid, which is a keves, is 3 lugin per isaron. So then that must be the chavitim. Since it said bashemen, you're going to have to add shemen. It never said how much shemen. It simply makes sense that we're comparing it to the other place where we've got this extra shemen. And that's 3 lug per isaron. Well, no, I mean, I can think of an alternative. I mean, maybe the way to look at it, says the Gemara, which is about to be absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense at all, as we're going to see. Maybe the way to look at it is to say, well, it says shemen over here with the minchas chavitim, and it says shemen over there by every minchas nedava, it says to put in shemen, and by every minchas nedava, it's 1 lug per yisaron, so maybe here it means 1 lug for yisaron. Now that is absurd. We started off by saying it's a given that you cannot put the same amount of shemen that you put into a normal minchas nedava, because otherwise, why did the Torah mention bashemen? So bashemen means you have to add shemen. Now when we're trying to figure out how much shemen to add, and the only place that we found was to compare it to the minchas nesachim brought with the keves, which is for the oila of the boiker, now we turn around and say, well, maybe we should compare it to the normal mincha. That was our starting point. Our starting point was it's not a normal mincha. So I understand. What's gotten into your head? The Gemara is going to get to this. It's going to turn out that we've switched people talking here in the middle. That's why it's so confusing. So obviously this makes no sense as it's constructed. But anyway, let's follow it through to its end and see what the narrative here is of whoever it is here that's talking. It can't be the way that we started off at the beginning, is it? All right, so we'll figure out who it is. All right, says the Braita, well, Ari, you're offering me a choice. I can either compare it to the Minchas de Sachir, and I could say it's a 3-to-1 relationship of the amount of oil in terms of lugin per Isaron, or I could compare it to a Minchas de Dova. And if it's a Minchas de Dova, it's a 1-to-1, one lug per Isaron relationship in the amount of Shemen. Well, okay, let's try to figure out logically. Near et lemidome, which is what we usually do when we have two possibilities. This is the standard way that the Gemara, that a Braisa will deal with this. Near et lemidome. Let's see which one makes more logical sense. So we should be done a tashat from a tashat. And if we don't, then we're being stupid because they match so beautifully. Everybody knows that a tashat matches another tashat. You can't possibly miss. Why, one tashat looks like any other. It's like every electron. You know the difference between one electron and another? I dare you to show me a difference between one tashat and another. Just in case you're wondering what a tashat is, the Brachta explains that we ought to learn a type of carbon, which is a carbon tadir, and they're brought all the time. So the chavitim are brought every single day. And the Minchas de Sachin with the Tamid is brought every single day. So therefore, it's a tough of a tough shot, which is a Tadir. And it is also a Shin, because it also comes on Shabbos. So it's Docha Shabbos. And of course, Minchas de Dava isn't Docha Shabbos. And a Minchas de Dava isn't Tadir. It's whenever you have to bring it. And it's not only a Tash, but it's a tough shot because it's also Docha Tuma. So we've got three things that are in common, one tough shot to another, and that would mean, well, it's not similar to a Minchas Nedava, but it is similar to the Minchas Nesachim, and therefore we do conclude, we think, that we should have a 3-to-1 proportion of the oil. But we're certainly not going to deal with a tough shot on a non-tough shot. I mean, that would be absolutely against all the racial laws. So you cannot learn out a tashat from an untashat. Forget about it. Now, wait a minute. Which is always the case what we do when we have a limud like this and we say, near lemidama, we bring up the fact that there's another way to look at midama. Maybe the way to look at it is, I mean, especially if you're talking about Tainus Esther and the upcoming Purim, and that is Yagel. I mean, everybody's going to be happy. So we have to learn one Yagel from another Yagel. You wouldn't learn a Yagel from a non-Yagel, would we? I mean, so after all, one Yagel is like another. And what is a Yagel? Well, the Yud stands for Yochid. So it's a carbon Yochid, like the Chavitim are. So is the carbon nedava of a mincha carbon yachid. And that's the yud of it. And also, it's galal atzma. It exists on its own. It's not coming for some other purpose. It's not like a minchas nesachim, where you're only bringing the minchas nesachim as an adjunct to the carbon of the oilas hayom, either boker or sacharetz or ayam. It's not coming as an adjunct. It's completely independent. And the chavitim is also completely independent. It's not an adjunct. And not to mention that it is also a lamed, which is a levona and a minchas, basically a minchas, the minchas yochid we're talking about has no levona, right? And but if we're going to be dealing with it, an eno yogil, so then the Minchas Nesachim is not the same as Chavitim because it doesn't have any Levona. Go show me where it says anything about Levona on the Minchas Nesachim. And, of course, the same thing would be true. That it's similar in this way, the Minchas Nesachim, together with the Talmid is not like the Chavitim in this either. The Chavitim doesn't say anything about Lavona, but obviously a fundamental component of the Michas Adava is that you bring a Lavona, Kometz Lavona with it, right? So how do I know what to do? Do I look at Tashets or do I look at Yagels? Well, since I don't know, and this again is always the form, right? Let's say Nir L'midayma, then we go through it, then we say, well, we can't make up our mind by looking for a Nira, so we'll have to find a Mokar. Well, that's exactly what happened over here. We have not been successful in our search for a friendly Tashets or Yagels, and therefore we're going to have to look to a different limud. Now comes along Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and he says the solution, therefore, lies in the Pasuk, in which mentions in the Chavitim, as we said before, Ze korban Aaron uvanava sheyakrivu la'Hashem biyom imashachoto asirit efas solet minchat tamid. We're going to darshan this. Machzita baboker, machzita ba'erev. So this idea of solas minchas tamid is what we started with before on Amud Beis, in Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. And we said, what is that meaning, tamid? It's comparing it to the minchas tamid, just like the minchas tamidim, which is the nesachim. It's shaloshes look in the yisaron. It's a three look to each yisaron proportion. So too is this chavitim shloshet lugin, just like the solas minchas tamid. And that is the opinion that we'd actually seen earlier, according to the Tana de Vayishma. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, well, I mean, look, it said, and it's going to turn out that Rabbi Shimon was actually the one who said that the word Bashemen demands a ribui of Shemen, which is what bothered us the whole time. If you know that, so how are you even considering anything that wouldn't be a ribui? Fine, that's true. But anyway, here's how we know that it's Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says, look, if the Torah says of your Bat Shemen, like we said before, and that means you must find additional oil. Well, where else do we find additional oil, huh? In the Minchas Nesachim. We don't really need to look for more than that. Since Reba Kan Shemen, and it's also a Reba in the Minchas Kvasim Shemen, which goes up to 3 lugin per Isaron, so fine. That's the only other mucker we have. So just like Lahalan, just like in that case of the Minchas Nisachim, how many lug of oil do we bring? Revi'i tahin. How much is a revi'i tahin? Shloshet lugin. Remember, a hin is equal to 12 lugin. So a revi'i tahin will be 3. So just like over there, we need 3 lugin, even though we're only bringing Isaron Echad Solet. So Yisaron Echad Solet together with the Revi'i Tahin. My gosh, that must be what we have to do for the Chavitim. Avkan Shloshet Lugin per Yisaron, and that's your solution. Well, I mean, there's other places where we have more oil than usual. Why do we have to look? I mean, yes, the places where we have more oil than usual is in the Nesachim. That's quite clear. But there's really 2 different proportions in the Nesachim, because it's true that the Keves is an Isarain per Revi'i Sahin. Okay, so that's 3-1. But how about the carbon that is an Ayo that you're bringing Nesachim for? So every carbon Shlomim and every carbon Ayla, which is brought by an Ayo. So what does it say? Shnei Ela Ayo, Shnei Esronim Solet, with shlishit tahin. How much is your shlishit tahin? Shlishit tahin is 4 lug. All right, so now 4 lug per 2 esronot is 2 lug per isaron, not 3. I mean, why do we need to exaggerate and go all the way up to the proportion of the oil in the isaron of the keves, which is 3-1? Let's go down to the proportions of an ayo, which is 2 esronot, and 4 lug shemen, which is 2. Or, you know what? We could even go to the par. So a par has what? Shalosh esronot solet and chatzi hahin. But a chatzi hahin is 6 lug. 6 lug per 3 esronot. That's also two. So the only case that we have, the maximal case, which is 3-1, is the Kevis. Both the IO and the par is only 2-1. So why do you feel that you need to go to 3-1 for the Chavitim? You could choose one of the other Nesachim. And therefore, here's how I would suggest, maybe, Kalach l'derech zo, Riba kan shemen. Yes, it does say, ba shemen, you need extra shemen. And the Torah gave extra shemen to the Nesachim of a par and an ayo. So just like when it comes to a par and an ayo, it's 2 lug per isaron. So to here, it's 2 lug per isaron. Why did you say 3? Well, let's think about it again. Near Elamidome, is it more reasonable to compare it to the Minchas Keves or more reasonable to compare it to the Minchas Aya or to the Minchas Par? I say it makes more sense to be done a Mincha which consists of 1 Isorin and out of, which is the Chavitim, out of another Mincha that consists of what? 1 Isorin. And what is that? The Keves. Yisoron Echad Solet. And how many oils do you bring for that one? 3-1. 3 lug into 1. A Revi'i Sahin. And why would I go learning the Chavitim, which consists of 1 Yisoron, and say, let's take a look at the amount of oil that we would bring for something that is 2 Esronot, like an Ayah, or 3 Esronot, like a Par. I mean, keep it in the family. Okay, that makes sense. Now, do you mind my asking how this whole braitha is ridiculous? You started off saying that this whole braitha is crazy. Amrit Bashem and Loziv Lashem. You started off with the words, it's a given. I know that I have to add to the amount of proportionate oil. That's the given, right? And then you say, okay, maybe to decide how much to add, we should compare it to a Minchas Nedava. Nemar Kan Shemen, Nemar Minchas Nedava Shemen. But that was the standard. You're telling me, no, it can't be the standard. So what are we going to look for? Not a standard. Then you turn right around and say, or maybe, you know what? Maybe we should just compare it to a Minchas Nedava and keep to the standard. I mean, somebody's lost his mind here in the middle. Rabbi, two different people are talking. The one who started this discussion was clearly Rabbi Shimon, right? Because Rabbi Shimon is the one that said before that the Bas Shemen means we have to add and we don't know how much to add. That's what we saw in the Brayot. That's a given, okay? So when we started reading those words, Bas Shemen teaches us we're Melamed Shemen. Who said those words? That was clearly Rabbi Shimon, right? Now, the continuation of saying, well, let's see, knee down to which one it's more similar. Who said that? That obviously wasn't said by Rabbi Shimon. That was said by Rabbi Yishmael, who came out at the end. He just learns that Bas Shemen is not to say you have to add Shemen. And therefore, he's the one who in the end comes out to say that that's why it compares it to the Shemen of the Nesachim. So he was the one who started this whole conversation. Maybe you would think that the amount of oil is the same as a carbon minchas nedava, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, I know that this is not working out. And since it says, as we're going to see later, that this is seles, the seles mincha, and this is referring to the seles of the minchas kvasim, that must be Rabbi Shmuel all along. So we started talking to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shmuel butted in at the end. And that means that there are two different bases to this. Ravuna Bered the Rav Yeshua says, that's awfully clumsy, don't you think? I mean, I think it makes more sense to say this was not being said by Rabbi Shimon, not yet. It's the other piece that's said by Rabbi Shimon. This whole part, the opening of this braita, all of it was being said by Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who we quoted earlier. And so it started like this. The way to begin is that Bas Shemen that we thought before meant What it meant was, read it like this. Bashemen must be coming to add Shemen, because if it's just coming to say you need Shemen, I don't need it to tell me that. After all, doesn't it say Al-Marchavat? And if it says Al-Marchavat, it would mean that it needs Shemen, just like a Minchas Marchavat Amya. Or maybe not. Now, here's the part that we didn't know, and that would make it work out a little bit of Rabbi Shmuel. And that's this piece. Or maybe not. Meaning, there's obviously a change in the assumption if we're going to start reading it to be learning it from a standard minchat minchat marhavat. So, maybe not. O'enu elo likbo al Hashem. And maybe just means, make sure that you bring oil. So, well, obviously, don't you have to bring oil? I mean, you said marhavat. No. Can you not think of a korban mincha that does not take oil at all? Because I can. Because if the Torah wouldn't have said beferish bar shemen, how would I know that this is not the same as a mincha schote? Maybe it's supposed to be a completely dry mincha, like a mincha schote, which takes no shemen at all. And maybe this one takes no shemen at all. That would mean that the word bashemen is not to say more shemen, it's simply to say bashemen. Fine, so that's what he was thinking. Then he turned around and said, well, even if it would be bashemen to say shemen, wouldn't I still be able to know that we're talking about more than the standard shemen, and we should compare it to tashats, one tashat to another, instead of a yagel. And then he tries to figure out, okay, which one is it? So he goes through the whole rigmarole. Maybe it should be a tashat, maybe it should be a yagel. Vidan dina, he goes through the whole rigmarole, and he doesn't come out with any clear proof, because I can't figure out whether it should be an electron or a proton. So therefore, he was dan dina, v'lalatyalet. Nothing came out of that. So he said, okay, so if I can't prove it, I'll look to the pasuk. So now he realizes it's time to turn to the pasuk. All right? This is the pasuk that he had quoted earlier, right at the very beginning on Amud Beis. Solez minchas tamid. And that's the way that he finished. It was saying Rabbi Shmuel Milton. The whole thing was said by Rabbi Shmuel. It included his original concept that maybe Bashemen, we should look at it the way Rabbi Shimon did. Then he was Dochit, then he went through the Dina, and then he came back to the Pasuk. Rabbi says, you don't have to make it all like Rabbi Shmuel. It could all be like Rabbi Shimon. And that means, sorry, up until we start Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Broka, Omer, it's all what Rabbi Shimon said. Namely, that Bashemen means you got to add oil. So then we never changed our mind about that. Definitely you have to add oil. So then, wait a minute, so then why did we say maybe we should learn out the amount of oil from a Minchas Nedava if I already know in advance that you have to add oil? That doesn't make sense. No. That's because you don't understand what the Braita is doing. The Braita wasn't seriously considering this. The Braita was trying to say that ilu lo ne'emar, saying that, look, it says in the Pasuk Bashemen to add Shemen, because if it would not have said Shemen, what would we have thought? That you didn't need Shemen at all? Nonsense. The ilik bo'ala Shemen, if it was only there in order to say, don't bring it dry, make sure that it's like a regular machavat. I don't need that, because it says al-machavat. If it says al-machavat, then that means it's like the well-known minchas machavat, which certainly requires shemen. So therefore, even if the Torah wouldn't have said the word bashemen, I would have already known that you need one lug per isara, because it was already compared to the machavat, right? Okay. So therefore, before you even said that word bashemen, I knew how much oil. Minimal. One lug per isara. Now, that's if it wouldn't have said. Vedandina, So then he said, okay, so let's see if now we can figure out what that oil is. Well, he couldn't learn it out through comparing it to the Minchas Nesachim, because maybe it should be compared indeed to a regular mincha. So then he said, no. Because why did he think that? Because he said that the word bashemen, that I thought that I could do without it. And now I'm explaining, I can't do without it. Because if I didn't have bashemen to say you must add, so then I'm saying, well, do I really need bashemen? Can I figure it out myself? No. Because you don't know whether to compare it to the normal machavad or to compare it to the Minchas Nesachim, right? So now I go back and I say, see, I was right. You need bashemen. That's all that happened. Then the Braisa comes in with Rabbi Yishmael, who says, yep, we know that it has to be Shlosha Lugin because of the Seles Minchas Olam, that idea, that's the last piece of Minchas Tamid, which is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And then we go back to Rabbi Shimon, and we say that you need more, and we compare it to the Minchas Tamid. Then he comes along and says himself, maybe it should be like the Minchas Parim ve'Elim. And then he says, no, makes sense to compare Mincha Ba'isara. So basically, the whole first part was Rabbi Shimon explaining, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I don't need bashemen, and I could learn it out from comparing it to other menachas. No, I wouldn't know what to compare it to, to compare it to a Minchas Nedava or to compare it to the Nesachim. So I did need bashemen. Now, as far as how much is involved, jumps in Rabbi Yishmael and says, what do you mean how much? It says, like the Minchas Tamid, so it's got to be referring to the Nesachim. And then Rabbi Shimon says, great idea, but how do you know which Nesachim? Maybe it would be the Par, maybe it would be the Isle. And then he himself answers himself by saying, well, since this is one Yisorain, and the Kevis is one Yisorain, there's your answer. Go there and look for the solution, and I was right all along that the word bashemen actually is essential to teach me extra oil. Okay, so we've got three different possible ways of reading the Braita, but the bottom line is everything is quite clear. When it comes to the Chavit, in whichever approach you want to take, that we know that it requires more shemen. The bottom line is we also know how much more shemen because of its comparison to the Minchas Nesachim of the Keves, which is all QED. And now, a word from our sponsor for tonight's drinking.
Oh, that, what is QED now?
Quod Arab Demonstratum.
I'm sorry.
That it's 3 lug per Yisaron. Proven.
QED.
QED means that in Latin. It means that is now been demonstrated.
Yes. Thank you.
And maybe we should stop now?
Stop now.
Listening to Rebbe.
Stop now. We've barely begun, my friend. Barely begun. You're just trying to cut off Richie because you think you're not going to get a drink because you have to do our
Vita. I'm willing to hear his reasoning.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's not because the Mishnah talks about our place to go. It's because Rebbe's really making an effort. We did an Amud, we got ahead. Maybe we should stop, not string Rebbe.
And when are we going to get more ahead to make up for the extra?
After 2 days of drinking and partying, Rebbe will have more kaya. And we'll work it out.
You know, you're appealing to everyone's laziness. And you know what it says in the Masechet Megillah about laziness. Etc. This is Kenega, the original attack of Amalek, where it says that they all took place in what location? What was the name of that location?
Rephidim.
And why was it called Rephidim? Al Sherafu Yadayim Minatera. Obviously,
to continue learning.
Obviously, this is the Nachash that has taken the shape of a Kohen Gadol. And this was just as Adam HaRishon was given the Big Day Kahuna in Gan Eden. And came along the Nachash at that moment to try to undo the Atzatz Hashem for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is what comes out of Tainus Esther in the end, and it tried to mess it up right at the beginning. We have been sent the ultimate Nisoyan, a Kohen who only looks like a Kohen.
The Rebbe is giving me a tongue lashing as if I'm a Nachash.
Oh, that was worth it, Rebbe.
Well, what do you think? Are we ready? Are we ready to give in to Barnea?
A snake in the form of a sheep.
That was the real point. What is Barnea after all? The Keves. Exactly. So that's how it all started. Here we were. He was upset that we were moving away, considering the possibility of a Parvayo. And not a Keves? No, seriously, guys, what do you want? Are you running out of patience for doing the rest of this, or should we finish up?
If Rebbe is gone.
Concerned by Rebbe's health. Concerned by Rebbe's health.
I've had so much fun, I have more energy now.
Yeah, exactly. He thrives on it.
You said I need 2 days of partying. I managed 2 days of partying just in these 5 minutes.
That's fast.
Okay, so let's do it fast. Go ahead, Sir Richard. Wait a minute.
You want to do it fast?
Shortcuts. Lo minu koin acher tachtav. So what happens if they never made another coin in to take the place of the vanishing Kohen Gadol, which we spoke about this morning? In those old days when people used to actually simply disappear in the middle of the day and you never heard from them ever again. A remarkable situation, which fortunately has long been put behind us. So, what did they used to do in those days if there was no new Kohen Gadol appointed yet? So then who pays for the chavitim? Mishal mi hayta kriva? Rabbi Shimon Omer, the public pays. Rabbi Shimon says, and that's always the best solution. You can even ask Mandami about that. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Mishel Yorshim. No, you got to go to the heirs of that original Kohen Gadol, and they bring it. And besides, there's another point. As long as there's no Kohen Gadol that is appointed in their place, the Chavitim was brought as a single korban, and was not split into a Chatzi Saron Baboker and a Chatzi Saron Ben Arbaim. It was brought twice a day as the full Chavitim. Each one was a potential whole Chavitim. Because so far, we don't have someone to take the place of the Kohen Gadol. Tana Rabbana. Kohen Gadol Shemeit. V'lo minu Kohen Kacher Tachtav. How do we know that it's the Yorshim that have to pay, which of course was the Machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? So how do we know that it should come from the Yorshim? Talmud Omar, V'hakoin HaMashiach Tachtav, Mibanav Yaseh Otah. So if there's somebody that needs to take the place of the Kohen Mashiach who has not yet been appointed, well, it's got to be his kids, meaning his heirs are going to have to pay for it. You might think that then they just bring the Chatzain, the same way Daddy did. So Yochel Yakrivenu Chatzain, Talmud Omar, Ya'aseh ota, the whole jazz, kula v'lo chetzia, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says it's a public responsibility because it says chok olam. And who is the am olam? Well, you know who the am olam is, especially those chazanim from Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. They know the am olam. Come on, Naftali. It's Klal Yisrael, which is called the am olam. The nation that was there for the entire meaning and purpose and length of the world. So therefore, the Chok Olam means it goes onto the community of the Eilon, which is Klal Yisrael. Continues the Pasuk, Kalil Taktar. Kalil Taktar implies, Shetehe Kula Bahaktara, which may mean, possibly, that In fact, the way in which we said before ota, that it has to be brought as a whole, kalil taktar may mean the same thing, and just Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon derive it from different places. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't learn the word ota means the whole thing. He learns that from the word kula ba'aktara, kalil taktar. That's one of Rashi's possibilities, and it's quite enticing. Now, the question is, how can you use the word Hakoina Moshiach Mibanav Yaseota to tell me that the heirs have to pay for it, which is the way that Rabbi Yehuda was learning? Don't we need that pasuk to tell me what we learned in the following braita? Ze korban Aaron uvanav asher yakrivu la'Hashem b'yom himashach oto. You might think, yochel yehu Aaron uvanav makrivin korban echad. So you might think that what you got to do over here is that on the day that Aaron and his children became Kohanim, which was a one-time event in history, that was at the day during the time of the Miluim, nothing to do with post-Miluim. So at that time, you bring the same korban. All the Kohanim bring a korban together on the first day of becoming Kohanim. Maybe that's what it means. Talmud lomar, asher yakrivu l'Hashem. No. It says asher yakrivu l'Hashem, that they all should offer, which means Aaron b'fnei atzmo, ubanav b'fnei atzmam. Because we have one being brought by Aaron and one asher yakrivu by the banim. It can't mean they all bring the same korban. So then if these banav, who are these banav? These banav are the Kohanim hedyotot on the first day that they become a Kohen. The real Chavitim is brought by Kohen Gadol, and these other Minchas Chinuchs are similar to the Chavitim, but are only brought once in the lifetime of a Kohen Hedyot, unless he's appointed a Kohen Gadol. If he's appointed a Kohen Gadol, then he needs to bring, besides the Chavitim, he needs to bring a Minchas Chinuch the second, because now he needs to bring the day of his chinuch as a Kohen Gadol. And what if, Lamaisa, he was never and before had done any Aveda, and we make him a Kohen Gadol the same day that he first becomes the Kohen to do the Aveda on the Mizbeach, which is exactly what we need to prepare for in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does he do then? Then he's got to bring three Minchas Chinuchs, because he's got to bring the Minchas Chinuch for himself as a Kohen Hedyot. He's got to bring a Minchas Chinuch for himself as well, that now he's a Kohen Gadol. And then he's got to bring the Chavitim, which is the same Minchas Chinuch, essentially, that he would have to bring today. So that's the possibilities here. And that we learn out that this is referring to the Kohanim Hedyotot. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not referring to Kohanim et Yota. Maybe it's referring to Bonav, it's through the generations. The meaning that every time there's a Kohen Gadol, but not that Kohen Hedyot has to bring this korban. Ataomer Kohanim et Yotot. Maybe it's a reference to all future Kohanim Gedolim, whoever is chosen to be a Kohen Gadol. So, it may mean that. But then when the Torah adds, V'hakoena Mashiach tachtav mi banav. Aha. And that's the same words that Rabbi Yehuda had used to prove that it's going to have to be paid for by the children. And here it says, we need those words to teach me that Hakoena Mashiach tachtav mi banav, that's the Kohen Gadol, right? A new Kohen Gadol. So it's referring to, in future generations, the next Kohen Gadol. So now, Kohen Gadol Amur. Hormani Mekayim Banav, that has to be referring to the Kohanim Hedyotot. So that means that the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda used to teach me that the heirs have to pay is actually coming to teach me something much more basic. Namely, that the chiyav of bringing this carbon is on every new Kohen Gadol that is to be appointed. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this available to teach me that it's a chiev, a monetary chiev, on the heirs of the Kohen. So how does he learn both of these things from that pasuk? Well, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you There's two things you get to learn from this pasuk. Because if all that the pasuk wanted to say was what I said, namely that the kids have to pay for the chavitim, you could have just said, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav Banav Ya'aseh. Instead of saying, Mi Banav Ya'aseha, all you need to write is that in the event that the Kohen Mashiach isn't available, then Tachtav Banav Ya'aseh. In his place, the children do it. But why does it throw in the word Mi Banav? What does Mi Banav mean? So Mi Banav is clearly adding, in future generations, ones that are appointed from his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever, Mi Banav, they are going to also have to bring a korban as the day that they become the Kohen Gadol, and then they're going to have to take over with the chavitim every day. So, okay, so now I understand how Rebbe Yehuda gets away with it. Now, how does Rebbe Shimon, what does Rebbe Shimon do with that word otah? Because he used the word kalil toktar to tell me the same thing that Rebbe Yehuda had used, say otah, namely that you need an entire, to bring the entire chavitim at once, and that you can't bring it half and half if you're not bringing it as a Kohen Gadol, if you're bringing it to in the place of the Kohen Gadol. And you're going to have to keep doing that. If it takes 2 weeks for the white smoke to go puffing, then you're going to have to pay for a double carbon chavitim every day. The whole bit in the morning and the whole bit in the afternoon. So you better get that Kohen Gadol appointed fast, because this could get rapidly expensive. But anyway, so what does he do with the otah? I mean, he learned it out from Kalil Toktar. Ah, Rebbe Shimon needs that otah to teach me what we said before, that if a Kohen Gadol dies and you appointed another one, we need to know that he can't bring a chatzi isoron. He's got to bring the whole thing from afresh. And he can't use the other chatzi isoron from the first Kohen. And that is that extra word otah. The whole isoron, he's got to start over with and then split it in two. But we learned that before from the extra vav. Remember, umachatzita, we said, ba'erev. And that vav came to tell me that it's going to have the same dinim in the Erev. Well, Rebbe Shimon, remember, he does not impress with extra vavs here and there, so he needed to learn it out, not from the umachzita, but rather he learned it out gufa from ota. Okay, very good. So now everything fits in. Now, what about those next words? I mean, he didn't say what he does with chok olam. So Rebbe Shimon, he used chok olam to tell me that it goes to the Am Olam, it goes to the public, it goes to Klal Yisrael, which is the chok now placed on the world. That's why, you know, always in yeshivas they say, the Welt zukt. Who is the Welt? The Welt is the Am Olam. And therefore, this is a chov on the Welt. So Chukal Olam Tehei, he says, I use that to tell me that the din of the chavitim is something that is chal in all generations. Wouldn't that be rather obvious if the Torah says to do it, that you do it on all generations? No, because I would have thought there's two dinim. There's a special din of Aharon HaKohen, that he brings these chavitim every day, and then there's a din throughout the generations that HaKohen HaGadol MiBanav brings it, but only on the day that he became the Kohen Gadol, just like his Minchas Chinuch is only on the day that he became a normal Kohen, or his extra Minchas Chinuch is only on the day that he, as a normal Kohen, he now becomes a Kohen Gadol. But how do I know that he too brings it every single day? Therefore, I need Chok Olam to tell me this. And what does Rebbe Yehuda do with the pasuk of Kalil Toktar that Rebbe Shimon said? That comes to tell me that it has to be an Isaron Shalem. What does he do with that? That he needs for this brayta. Miboy leila kedatanya. Eli ela elyona minchat kohen gadol bekalil toktor. V'tachtona minchat kohen hedyot is bichlal lo te'achel. So we have two psukim here, one after the other. Let's talk about the upper pasuk and then talk about the lower pasuk. That's the Elyona and the Tachtona. The upper pasuk is Hakohen Mashiach Tachtav Mi Banav Yaseh Ota Chok Olam LaHashem Kolil Tok Tar. So what does that tell me? That it should be burnt entirely on the Mizbeach. Now, the very next pasuk says V'chol Minchat Kohen, any mincha of any Kohen, Kalil tiye lo teachel. Now, it does not say kalil taktar. It says do not eat it. Now, those are two different things. I mean, I do not eat it, but it doesn't say anywhere I must bring it up on the Mizbeach. And the first pasuk, the Elyon, referring to the Achavitim, said you must bring it all up on the Mizbeach, but it doesn't say do not eat it. So those seem to be two different things. And that is what this Braita comes to address. I know that the Elyona that's referring to the Chavitim says Kalil Toktar. I know that the Tachtona, which is referring to a standard Minchas Koyen of any kind, is Lo Teachel. But how do I know that each one of these applies to the other? How do we know that both of them are usher to eat and both of them is a Chiev to put on the Mizbeach? Tamud lomar kalil, kalil igzera shava. That's why it says kalil toktar, to tell me that just like kalil in the upper pasuk is talking about a mitzvah of bringing it on the Mizbeach, so too is the kalil on the second pasuk of a minchas kohen hetyot, all through the Doris, a mitzvah to bring it entirely onto the Mizbeach. And just like the Kalil in the second pasuk is lo teachel, it's not allowed to be eaten by anyone, so too is the Kalil tiyeh on the upper pasuk, referring to the Chavitim, is also the same thing. Nemar kan Kalil, v'nemar lama Kalil, malkan Kalil toktar, afla alan Kalil toktar, umala halan liten lo ta'aseh l'achivato lo te'achel, afkan liten lo ta'aseh al achilata. Lovely.